All right, thank you very much, Mark, and I would echo that as I was sitting there waiting, listening to Dr. Pollack, and being a part of that weight trait project and some of the things that the Meat Animal Research Center did and the Beef Cattle Consortium sitting in on meetings before John took over the Meat Animal Research Center. They were kind of the pioneers, and then the first one that took off was Angus, and Angus proved to our industry that it can work. It can work in the specific populations that they're trained in, and obviously they were kind of the beginning of this process and kind of led the way for all of us as we move forward. So I'll just again, Mark asked just to give a little bit of an update on what's going on in the various breed associations, and for us at Hereford, our first inclusion of genomic information into national cattle evaluation was in the fall, the release of the fall 2012 EPDs, and those correlations were built on a very small number of bulls, 1,100 high accuracy bulls, and as you've seen, many of those bulls were leveraged in the weight trait project that we used participated in at Meat Animal Research Center. The other part of this, I always like to remind our breeders and the folks when I present this, at the same time this was going on, breed associations were dealing with genetic abnormalities and trying to discover markers to manage those abnormalities. And that was twofold. Number one, it gave us the opportunity to go out and genotype another large set of bulls or a large group of bulls. And the second part of that, in my opinion, and maybe more importantly for us, is it gave our breeders the confidence to use genomic information. They rely on those marker tests to manage genetic abnormalities, and so they have some sort of comfort level, if you will, on genomic information even before we began and produced our first genomic enhanced EPD. So we were off to a good start last fall. Dorian Gary came to our board and to our annual meeting and kind of chastised us because we were incorporating genomics into the evaluation, but we were really way behind on the number of bulls that we had genotyped. We needed to jump our correlations, and so we set a goal that by the middle of February 2013, we would have added at least 2,000 more high-accuracy bulls to be genotyped to increase the correlations that we would have for our Hereford prediction. We got to that goal plus some, and in April of 2013, we released a new set of genomic enhanced EPDs, which, quite frankly, Mark, caused me a little heartburn as we sat in our office and took the phone calls. Obviously, the phone calls weren't coming for the ones that it helped. It came from those who maybe it didn't help. But nonetheless, we felt it to be important that if we had this number, or larger number of bulls, and our correlations could grow to the extent that they did, it was our challenge to get it to the breeders in a timely manner before this year's breeding season. So we updated that in April. The method that we use today, at this point in time, is nothing more than what I like to call an inner model. It's a post-blending model where we actually only affect the EPDs on the animal that is actually genomically enhanced. That's today. I'll be happy to report to you that a month from now, when we release our fall of 2013, that will have changed and that blending will go up and down the pedigree, and so then it will begin to affect more of the animals, and that's what we need. And obviously, I think, as we've heard, there's still challenges on the best way to use genomic information in the full-blown evaluation. We have a couple of issues at the American Hereford Association, or challenges, if you will. Number one, we have a Pan-American genetic evaluation. So we incorporate all the data from Canada, the U.S., Argentina, and Uruguay is in one genetic evaluation. So for us to move forward in this, we have to kind of bring or help our partners as well and allow this to affect their EPDs and make it one process. And so when you're dealing with other entities, other countries, other populations, that's a bit of a challenge. Also, our evaluation is a true multi-trait evaluation. So anytime we get one piece of information, it affects every other trait that we have. So the matrices that are used to run this evaluation are compounded, and some of the issues with computing power, especially when you're talking about 3,000 to 4,000 head of animals with genomic information, and you're running an evaluation of more than 22 million with a more than 22 million animal records in it, it becomes a bit of an issue there. So it's not trivial. It's a bit of a challenge for us as we look forward. On May 1st of 2013, we did switch from the 50K genotype. It was told to us that those chips were no longer going to be made. We had to make a decision. You listened to Stuart talk at GeneSeq, how they have a high-density, low-density chip. The board of directors and the American Hereford Association chose to go with the high-density chip for a couple of reasons. Number one, we were very comfortable with the imputation on the low-density chip of what we were seeing in what we could do for a prediction of an MBV to produce a genomic EPD for an animal. We weren't quite as comfortable that as we move forward in training, that maybe the low-density panel was going to do quite as good a job as the high-density. Maybe it will. I'm sure many of you in this audience would be able to tell me that better than I do, but we did choose to stay with the high-density chip as we move forward after May 1. I just brought this slide up to you to give you a little indication of what happened from last fall until April of this year, and as you can see, it was a tremendous increase in the correlations that we had to the various traits. We were very pleased. Again, we jumped, as I said, from 1,100 animals to 3,500 animals plus, and actually, as I spoke with Dorian here over the week, we actually have about 5,500 genotypes on Hereford and Hereford-influenced animals. And so we are probably looking at maybe at this sometime in the near future to even again upgrade the correlations we have. I also wanted to show you this. This is what we present to the breeder when, and the process is that the breeder calls us. We send them or email them a kit. They attach the hair or the DNA to the kit. The kit goes off to GeneSeq. GeneSeq sends the MBVs to us. We produce through the interim model a new set of EPDs, and I think the interesting part of this, or the reason I chose this one, is because you get all the tests at once, and this was an animal that was actually nothing more than a pedigree estimate, and with the increase in the correlations that we have, you can see quite a jump in the accuracy level of this animal's EPDs, even at a less of a year of age. We also do the parentage, as Sally said, and the American Hereford Association instituted a rule a year ago that any bull born after January 1 of 2011 would need to have a DNA profile at our official lab prior to registering calves out of that bull. And right now it's just an abnormality and a profile, but it also gives us access to the DNA on that bull that in the future, if we decide we need to go after these high-accuracy bulls to retrain our panel, that DNA is available and we have it. So it not only corrects our pedigree issues and some of the things, and also gives us an idea on the current genetic abnormalities. It also allows us to have access to that DNA in the future as we move forward with training. We also do have, as you see down here on the lower left-hand corner, we do have a test for homozygous polled in our breed now, which is also being utilized very heavily. Where do you find the information on genomic enhanced cattle with at the HA? It can be found on the web. You see that logo. Anytime an animal has been genomically enhanced, that logo is tied to it. You can do a sort on our website. And it's part of the main screen of an animal when you pull them up. You can use the sort if button and only bring up the animals that have genomic enhanced EPDs. Future development, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, our real challenge in the immediate future is to continue to look at ways to really get the marker information included, to move up and down our pedigrees and to do it very smoothly. Again, to work with the Pan-American countries, We are sequencing and obviously want to try and find, as Dorian said, some causative genes with large effects. And as Sally said and Dr. Pollack said, we certainly encourage our breeders to continue to collect the phenotypes because that's how we're going to grow this in the future. I want to take a minute to recognize these guys because any of you that know me know that I'm not very scientific at mind. And obviously, Dr. Pollack, my first meeting on the advisory committee with the MBCC was pretty interesting and a lot of fun. And that's where the Herford Association got its jump start into working on a genomic enhanced EPD. So the first work with Dr. Pollack and certainly Dorian and Mavi now, the folks at the Meat Animal Research Center, whenever you email them, call them, they're good at answering our questions, obviously leveraging ourselves into these various projects that these scientists are working on. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the folks at AGBU and ABRI. They're doing the research on the inclusion. GeneSeq, obviously, our lab. And frankly, guys, this approach, or this wouldn't have happened without the commitment of the HA and obviously of its board of directors. I know I've seen Jerry Huth in here, which was one of our chairmen of the Breed Improvement Committee when we got really started into this very heavily. So I want to recognize all those folks as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Next we'll hear from Dr. Lauren Hyde of the American Simmental Association, who also brought genomic enhanced EPDs online.